Today on Seculo, explosive details of Hunter Biden's failed plea agreement have been revealed.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There's been a lot of talk about the Hunter Biden plea deal, which kind of fell apart last week. It was supposed to be solidified by the court and kind of get the rubber stamp. It did not. And there were issues with it that the judge had. But we've now gotten the actual plea deal released to the media. So we've got to see in our hands at least that draft that was rejected by the judge. And you're finding out more about what kind of sweetheart deal Hunter Biden was receiving from the DOJ, including how they were lowering the counts down to the misdemeanor charges, and they were, I think it was a three-step removal there. This one really focused on the document that was released on the tax charges, and it also reveals that he never actually paid his back taxes. Someone else paid his back taxes for him, including in 2021, while his dad was president of the United States.
So what we do know now is what was in this plea agreement that got the judge so concerned that she rejected the plea agreement, which happens, but it's honestly, Jordan Logan, very rare. Yep. And to our audience, it's very rare. Here's what happened. The judge went in reviewing the plea, noticed a couple of things, one of which was a determination of basically what we would call in the law blanket immunity. That means not just like the crimes that were being investigated during this period from 2014 to 2018, but rather any crimes that could have been committed between that period, known or unknown. So in other words, it was a total immunity from prosecution from any criminal liability for this period of time. And the determining factor, if there was a breach of the agreement, and you talk about a two-tiered system of justice, rather than it resting with the Justice Department, which is where it's supposed to be, they would bring a charge saying you're in contempt of court, you violated your plea agreement, or a revocation of the plea agreement because you've allegedly violated terms of that plea agreement. They wanted the judge to do it. And the judge said, I'm not the prosecutor, I'm the judge. I'm an Article 3 member of the constitutional framework. You, the executive branch, are Article 2. You do that. And that's where this thing fell apart. But here's the key to this, as we're talking about our life and liberty drive that we're in right now. You have to be able to analyze this to understand the two-tiered nature of the justice system that's being implemented right now. Literally before our very eyes. You're seeing that when the president, former president, gets arraigned today. You're seeing that in this actual document here, which is the now released version of the plea agreement. Two completely different systems of justice are at play, which is exactly why we're able to expose this, because part of what you do when you support the work of the ACLJ in our Life and Liberty Drive is allow this broadcast to also continue to get information out.
Yeah, that's right. And the Life and Liberty Drive is a really special event that we are doing right now through the month. We have just launched it, and we are only a few days into it, and we're excited to how big it has already become. And the reaction that we've had from you has been overwhelming. We kicked it off with the major new case representing the FBI Special Agent Garen O'Boyle, who obviously we talked about, the whistleblower, who testified before Congress about the corruption and political bias that has been infecting the FBI. It's really fascinating. And actually, we can probably announce he will be on the broadcast tomorrow.
Yeah, so we're going to have our client, the FBI whistleblower, on this broadcast tomorrow. Let me tell you what's going on today. After we're done with radio, our team's on the phone, on Zoom calls with other whistleblowers. So this project is expanding as we speak. You are allowing us to restore a constitutional framework, which is the most important part of liberty. I encourage you that this is your moment. This is your time to engage. This is the time for you to join us in this fight. Go to ACLJ.org, support the Life and Liberty Drive. The last 2 days' response have been, folks, frankly, incredible. And we want to keep this momentum going.
Yep, you go to ACLJ.org to be part of the Life and Liberty Drive. We've also got a new update in our fight for life. That's out of Ohio, an important vote there. People are voting as we speak. ACLJ action involved there. Again, ACLJ.org, be part of the Life and Liberty Drive. Donate today. Be right back taking your phone calls. Secchio. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. As this week we announce our Life and Liberty Drive for the month of August. We announced that with the representation of a brand new client, the FBI whistleblower Garrett O'Boyle, who will be joining us on the broadcast tomorrow. So you want to definitely check that broadcast out. He is the one that said very directly, when you speak out, when you blow the whistle, the FBI will crush you.
And your family. Crush you and your family. And this was in response to a congressman's question about what would you advise your colleagues to do that have the same issue. And as I said, and Logan, this goes to our Life and Liberty Drive. As I said, our legal team, and we, by the way, we've assembled a legal team on this that is a lot of experience in these matters. Names you recognize. In addition to us, we brought in some of my colleagues from other cases, including representing the former president. Those lawyers are now involved in these cases as well. So we're putting together an A-plus team, meeting with other whistleblowers today and tomorrow as this project of ours expands, because you can never have liberty and freedom if the government is unaccountable. And as we're talking about the Hunter Biden plea, which, I mean, some of the stuff coming out of this plea and then that Devin Archer testimony, but on this plea, all right, so he's got his taxes are paid by a third party. That becomes clear now. He didn't pay his, so, I mean, it's not illegal. You could do it. It's just highly unusual. I think what is most interesting here is the business dealings they're talking about with, this is what the vice president's son was doing business with, Ukraine, China, and Romanian companies. And as Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy, pointed out to us in our pre-meeting, and this is interesting, when you deal with Romania, because of all of the border shifts that have taken place and Romanian companies, these could be companies that are Russian, Ukrainian, who knows what, because of the nature of the diversity of the ethnic groups within those countries. This is coming from the same vice president who said he did not discuss business deals with him. He didn't meet with his clients, his son's clients. Listen to this statement.
Mr. Vice President, how many times have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings. Never discussed with my son or my brother or anyone else anything having to do with their businesses, period.
We know now that that is not true. I mean, we have testimony from Devin Archer on the record. He's documented 20 different times Joe Biden was on the phone. We have pictures of Joe Biden at dinner now with the president of Kazakhstan. The next day, Hunter Biden received a $125,000 Porsche from Kazakhstan.
Say that again. People need to understand.
So it's right on the Daily Mail today, so you can add another country to the list. This came out of the Devin Archer testimony. A photograph of Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, the president of Kazakhstan, and I think maybe his advisor or son, eating at a restaurant in Washington, D.C., well-known in Georgetown, called Cafe Milano, with the diplomatic crew, with the foreign diplomats. And they're all in the picture together. The next day, Hunter Biden gets a $125,000 Porsche. We also know that it's not limited to just phone calls. That there were a number of these times where they would go meet, usually at that restaurant, Cafe Milano, to use, as they called it, the Biden illusion of access. And that the threat was, if you don't use the Bidens, the law will come against you.
Yes.
That the United States legal system, and they talk about the firing of the Ukraine prosecutor, and the fact that Burisma, they don't think would have survived as a company because of its corruption that was being investigated in Ukraine without the Bidens. So the Bidens literally were the reason why a corrupt Ukrainian gas company with Russian ties, by the way, remember, this is pre the war with Ukraine, and I think the head of Burisma lives in Monte Carlo, actually, was able to survive because of the help and assistance of the Bidens while Joe Biden was vice president, but, and Ukraine was part of his workload.
Well, let me ask you this question. I want our audience reaction to this. Where's the special counsel investigating all this? How come this isn't part of the plea? Why was this not part of the investigation that was going on by U.S. Attorney Weiss? Or if it was, and it's now just been brushed under the rug, and they really were trying to get a deal through where anything he did that was illegal over that period, disclosed or undisclosed, was not going to be implicated, no one in America would get that deal. And the lawyer had to honestly say, when the judge asked the U.S. attorney, have you ever seen a transaction like this? And you know what his answer was? No. Do you have any precedent for this? No. So we've got a former president being indicted and arraigned today in Washington, D.C., over what we talked about yesterday with Professor Dershowitz, First Amendment statements that people didn't like in the government. And now also going after the lawyers that were defending those First Amendment statements. Meanwhile, simultaneously, up the road in Delaware, you have a plea that was trying to be entered into that would have bootstrapped the entire government. And we've got now coming out Devin Archer's testimony saying, hey, look, you know, they had this illusion of access. That's what they were selling. It was the Biden brand over and over again. Here's what I'm telling you. You need the American Center for Law and Justice to not only bring this to light and explain it and detail it, but to take action on all of these things. That's why we have an aggressive FOIA practice where we're going after access to information from the government and have had great results. That's why we're now representing whistleblowers. This is why you need to stand with us. But I want this question that I want to ask. How are you reacting, American people, listeners of this broadcast, to this two-tiered system of justice? And what do you think should be done? Because as Logan has been saying, we're reading these comments every day from you. So we want to hear from you right now at 1-800. We'll open up our phone lines, 1-800-684-3110. We're exposing the truth. We want to know what you think about it, 800-684-3110. But this is part of our life and liberty drive, to stand up and speak out and disclose this. This is not good for your kids and grandkids in a constitutional republic to operate like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And during this Life and Liberty drive, as we've said before, your donations are doubled, which is great. But we have really opened the doors to focusing on what you have told us as you put in your comments, as you call into the broadcast, as you send in mail, and you tell us what the issues are the most important to you. We've decided to really focus this month of August. And when you have something like the whistleblower situation and you hear sort of the dire needs of these people, and I think we should play some of that. I mean, this was coming from, maybe you could explain a bit before we hear from O'Boyle, who we'll actually hear from tomorrow on the broadcast. You know, he's having this moment and they're asking him, you know, what would happen? How would you suggest people who have this sort of information, how they would go
forward? So one of the congressmen asked, because he knows these guys have been put through, let me tell you what's happened to them. Okay, so this is, you know, like I said, we're meeting with more of them this afternoon. But let me tell you what happens to these guys. They suspend, they don't revoke it. They suspend their security clearance. They moved him across the country and then suspended him also without pay. So you're still an FBI agent. You're not getting paid. Your security clearance has been suspended. And under IRS, under FBI regulations, you can only get earn $7,000 of outside income. Then you take it to an administrative review process, and the judge that hears the case, the administrative law judge, says, oh, I wish I could help you, but I can't because I can't review your security status, so you have no case. And that's based on a Supreme Court decision, Egan case, out of 1988. That has not been challenged in 40 years until now, because the American Center for Law and Justice is involved. And we are filing a notice of appeal at the end of this month. We get to go right from this level, by the way, right to the Court of Appeals, right below the Supreme Court, to challenge this system of injustice that's taking place for these individuals. But do you want to play this sound from O'Boyle?
Yeah, I think so. Well, let's just hear. This is a conversation where he had, where he talked about what would happen, what will the FBI do? And I think that's an important one. So that would be Bite 17.
Mr. O'Boyle, we just heard from your interaction with Mr. Gates and how all of this occurred and all of the hardships you've gone through. If one of your really good friends, your former colleagues, came to you and said, I have this thing that is being covered up, and I think the American people need to know about it, what advice would you give them?
I would tell them first to pray about it long and hard. And I would tell them I could take it to Congress for them, or I could put them in touch with Congress, but I would advise them not to do it.
So you would legitimately try to protect one of your colleagues from doing what you have done?
Absolutely.
And how do you think that solves being able to shine light on corruption, weaponization, any kind of misconduct that exists with the American people?
It doesn't solve it. But the FBI will crush you. This government will crush you and your family if you try to expose the truth about things that they are doing that are wrong. And we are all examples of that.
I can't think of a more sobering way to end a hearing. I yield back.
In addition to being a special agent with the FBI, Agent O'Boyle was also a veteran of Afghanistan and Iraq, serving in the 101st Airborne Division. Look, folks, here's what it is. We're only a couple days into our ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. We've had an incredible response, which is great. We kicked off the drive with the announcement of a major new case, and that was the one you just heard from. And you're going to hear from him on the broadcast live tomorrow, Agent O'Boyle. I will tell you right now, we are meeting with additional whistleblowers, even this afternoon and tomorrow. And you saw what he said. Crush you, crush your family. That's what they're doing. The FBI has done just that. We're fighting back, and we're going to federal court. And that's where you're coming in. Your support is crucial to our efforts. We really believe that not only will every gift be doubled, but that you can have an impact that goes on for generations here. So we believe this is your moment to join with us in this fight for life and liberty so we can stand up for these individuals who could never afford the lawyers that are necessary to fight this. But because of your support, we are those lawyers. ACLJ.org. We're back with more in just a moment. ACLJ.org.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Secules. The ACLJ launches the Life and Liberty Drive. Of course, that issue right on the top of the comments there, life, that's something the ACLJ has been fighting for decades. We've seen the overturning of Roe versus Wade and the fight for life returning to states. And one of the important issues is we've seen the abortion industry try and go after states that have good pro-life legislation, like Ohio, which has got a heartbeat bill, and it's got parental notification in place. But there, the abortion supporters and the abortion industry are trying to push forward with constitutional amendments, confusing the voters to make it easier to get rid of those protections for life in the states. We're joined right now by the Ohio Secretary of State, Frank LaRose. And Secretary LaRose, we appreciate you joining us now on Seculo. Let me ask you first, because people are voting right now on issue one, and ACLJ Action is encouraging people to vote yes on issue one. It would raise the vote threshold for passing constitutional amendments from 50% to 60%. Tell our supporters and our listeners why that's important.
Well, it's all about the fight for life and liberty, and we are on the front lines of this here in Ohio as we speak. As you mentioned, the radical left is trying to get a really extreme abortion amendment done. They want to do it in this November's ballot in Ohio, but that's not the end of it. Next year, they want to bring a massive increase in the minimum wage to our state. And so we're making a stand, and we're saying it shouldn't be so easy to amend the Ohio Constitution. It's been at 50% plus one for 100 years. We want to raise it to 60%, where it really should have been all along. As you know, it's not easy to amend the U.S. Constitution. It shouldn't be so easy for out-of-state special interests to come into Ohio and to amend our state constitution.
You know, Frank, one of the things I was concerned about is you mentioned the constitutional amendment process. You get 2/3 of the states to have to agree to do that. In the situation in Ohio, 50%, it almost makes your constitution just another piece of legislation. I think, you know, we're talking about the pro-life issue or the life issue, and then you're talking about economic issues. I mean, we could go through a host of them, public safety issues, and on it goes. So it sounds like what you're trying to do here is get this situation to have your constitution function as a constitution, not just another piece of legislation that the next legislative assembly comes in, they put it on the ballot, it goes to a ballot and 51% vote, and you've changed your constitution.
That's it, 100%. I've been traveling all over the state, leaving it all on the field. I did my 68th issue one event last night. We're going to do 69 and 70 tonight up in Northwest Ohio. And I've been talking about, what is a constitution for? I would argue constitutions lay out the framework of government, three branches, separation of powers, enumerated powers, but also fundamental rights. Those things that not just 50% plus one agree on, but the things that we broadly agree on as a society. Constitutions are not for policymaking. They're not where you handle those really controversial issues of the day, like what people can smoke or not smoke, or where you can have a casino, or this radical abortion agenda that the left is trying to bring to Ohio. We're going to make it right in Ohio by saying our constitution is special. It should be used for what it's intended for, the governing of our state and those fundamental rights. But lawmaking, day-to-day policymaking should be done in statute.
And people can go vote in this now in Ohio. The early voting is open. The final vote is August 8th, the election day on this issue, to vote yes on issue one. And Frank, we've also seen, your Secretary of State in Ohio, the amount of money spent by the abortion industry, it just says it all. And this is a lot of dark money, and it's coming in not from Ohio. I mean, you got $5.9 million coming in from the District of Columbia, $4.3 million from California, $700,000 from Virginia, $600,000 from New York, $1 million from the ACLU, $2 million from the Tides Foundation, the teachers' unions, $2 million, a total of about $15 million spent by pro-abortion and leftist groups to defeat issue one.
It's a tsunami of out-of-state money coming into Ohio, and you wonder, why are these tech billionaires from California, why are these left-leaning groups from New York so interested? Because as goes Ohio, so goes the nation. They know that if they can be successful with abusing our Constitution here in Ohio, they can take these bad ideas to other states as well. We've had a little bit of money that's come in on the right here, and of course, those people that have supported it have been attacked. These are patriotic Americans, patriotic Ohioans that are chipping in a little bit to help, but we're being outspent like 2-1. But here's what they're not counting on. The silent majority is not going to be silent on Tuesday, August 8th. The Ohioans that care about the sanctity of life, that care about gun rights, that care about protecting free enterprise are going to stand up in large numbers. And we're going to win this, even though we've been outspent and even though the mainstream media in Ohio is completely in the bag for the no campaign.
We've seen these battles. I mean, these are the most important battles since the overturning of Roe versus Wade, since Dobbs have been in the states, these amendment battles, where, again, a whole host of liberal ideology could be moved through on that 50+1 to in a constitution. We're not talking about legislation, no, here, but the constitution.
That's what I was going to ask one last question, Frank, and that is you just rattled through the money, the out-of-state money that's coming in, and you look at this, and you said it's the tsunami effect of all of this. But the reality is these are outside groups trying to rewrite the laws of Ohio.
They believe that the state constitution is for sale. And again, it's not just abortion, it's gun rights. The mayor of Cleveland said the quiet part out loud last week, where he said everybody should vote no so that we can do common sense gun reform. You know what they mean. And so that's why these folks from California and New York are just pouring money into Ohio. Please help us here in the fight and get the word out that every Ohioan you know should vote yes on issue one between now and August 8th. And be on the lookout, because this nonsense is coming to your state too.
Absolutely.
Secretary of State LaRose, we so appreciate your time and for the fighting on this battle. I mean, I think it hits so many issues in this Life and Liberty campaign. And as he talks about Ohio, we know how critical Ohio is to our election process. But this idea that liberal groups are going to be starting to target your state constitution rules to see if they can, instead of going through the legislative process, run these multi-million dollar campaigns, subvert what in Ohio is a very conservative state legislature,
exactly,
and conservative governor and secretary of state. But you can subvert that by spending $15, $20 million misleading people about what they're voting on, which we've seen on the abortion amendments a lot. And then you could put forward a whole host of liberal ideas, and you're not legislating them. You are putting them into a constitution.
No, I think what Frank said is absolutely correct. And is Frank still with us? I want to ask last question here. People need to understand this, Frank. We only got less than a minute. When we talk about these outside groups, that makes this an even more urgent fight, because as you said, it's going to go to other states as well.
Again, they believe that the Ohio Constitution's for sale. We're going to prove them wrong next Tuesday, and it's crucial that we do, because, again, this is not the end of the fight for them. They want to go around our state legislature. They haven't been able to win there because Ohio's a conservative state, so they're trying to make an end run around our state legislature, go direct to the Constitution, and make permanent changes in the way that our state's governed. We're going to stand up and fight them, and again, be on the lookout, because it'll come to your state.
You're too. Not kidding. Frank, thanks for being with us. Folks, this is exactly why we have a campaign called Life and Liberty, a drive going on right now at the ACLJ. And I can't think of a better way for you to stand with us as we stand with these states. I mean, our ACLJ action is working on this. I mean, our teams are working on this. And this is where it comes in. And what we're trying to do is highlight the breadth and scope. Like I said, we're reading your comments. Folks, I read the comments from all three feeds last night. I read all the comments that were on Rumble, Facebook, and YouTube to get a sense of it. This is where you come in. You can be part of this incredible drive, because we believe this isn't just our moment. We believe this is your moment. At ACLJ.org to get into our Life and Liberty drive. I want to encourage you to do us. You're joining us in this fight. You know, we talked about fighting for life and liberty and keep us in the fight. Now we need you in that fight with us. And this is how you do it. You become part of that team. And it's so critically important that you do it. Through our ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, every gift will be doubled, giving us twice the impact to defend the freedoms and liberties that matter most to you. And folks, that means ensuring the state constitutions and the federal constitutions are protected. We've got a half hour more of this broadcast. If you don't get the full, go to ACLJ.org, Sirius, or any of our social media platforms.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We're taking your phone calls, too. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There'll be a bit of news this afternoon. I was on Newsmax this morning. Donald Trump, for the third time, second time in federal court, this time in Washington, D.C., will be arraigned. Again, the indictment was released, four counts, these conspiracies against the U.S. government, conspiracies against official acts against the rights of Americans. What you didn't see is a charge of insurrection. You know, Adam Schiff was certain that there were evidence. Another time, Adam Schiff was certain there was evidence to charge Donald Trump with insurrection. Jack Smith, even with his absurd charges, didn't try that one in court. These almost all relate to the ideas of political speech. I mean, we've seen these videos. They go on and on, 24 minutes long, 30 minutes long, that the RNC's put together, of Democrat elected officials calling Trump an illegitimate president, saying it was a stolen election when he won, saying the Russians hacked the election.
Right.
I mean, and literally, I don't believe any of them should go to jail for saying that.
No, it's free speech.
I disagree strongly with them, sure. And I think they are wrong. But if they want to have those viewpoints as politicians, they can have those viewpoints.
Well, here's what I want to say to our listeners. First of all, I've got a question for you. Look what we've hit so far. Constitutional amendment in Ohio. Hunter Biden's unusual plea agreement that the judge wisely rejected because that was over the top. A two-tier system of justice. Agent O'Boyle, who will be with us live on the broadcast tomorrow. So, who's the whistleblower in the FBI case. All of this is happening. I want to get your reaction to this. How do you feel about this two-tier system of justice? And then, as Jordan said, the 45th president of the United States is being arraigned again this afternoon in Washington, D.C. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, let's go to Daniel, who's calling in Wyoming, who's watching on Facebook online, too. You're on the air.
Hi, Daniel.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Two things, one about Joe Biden and the other one about Chuck Schumer. The first thing is, if Joe Biden didn't know anything about Burisma and his son's dealings, and now he's saying he wasn't in business, then why did he try to get the prosecutor fired? And then the second thing is, Chuck Schumer, you know, told Donald Trump, don't come against the intelligence agency because they got six ways of Sunday to get into you. So the Democrats know the intelligence agents are corrupt. So,
well, this ties into, look, I mean, all this ties into the fact that our government accountability project and oversight project has now increased drastically because you were representing these whistleblowers. These are the people that were involved in these transactions or these incidents. And it's breathtaking in the nature of the scope of what is going on. But then you got to hold the government accountable. Now, we've done that before. Listen, I mean, I go back to this. We took on the IRS folks. We beat the IRS nonprofit division, decimated them during their targeting of the IRS. By the way, we'll have some more information interesting on that next week. That's not going to be shocking, I guess, in light of the way the world is set up right now. But this is the reality of what is going on. So that's why you got to fight on these issues. But here's what I want to ask our audience. We're reading your comments. We're reading what you're saying. But I want to ask you this. Do you view the two-tier system of justice as just a nuisance or a danger? And we'll take your calls on that at 800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. And as I said, we are in day three of our Life and Liberty Drive.
That's right. If you haven't heard about it, we've been talking about it just for the last few days. So if you haven't joined us yet, now is the time. This is your moment. You can help join us in the fight for life and liberty. It's no longer about just listening to this broadcast, about getting yourself involved. And through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, your financial support is crucial in defending people like Agent O'Boyle or the other situations you've heard on this broadcast over the last few days. Because what we did, we looked at all your comments and we decided we're going to focus this month on the issues that matter most to you. Right now, we're talking about liberty. We're also going to have some breaking news in the world of the pro-life movement. We talked a little about that earlier. We're going to have more and more unveiled over the course of this next month. But today is the day to get involved right now as a part of the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. And it's very simple. Just go to aclj.org and make your donation today and join us in this fight for life and liberty. We'll be back in just a moment with more on Seculo. And again, encourage you to go to aclj.org. Back in just a couple minutes.
We are taking your phone calls too at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're joined now by former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and ACLJ Senior Counsel for Global Affairs. And Secretary Pompeo, we talked about the details of Hunter Biden's plea agreement that have been made public and Devin Archer's testimony. Kind of feels like the Biden family and the Biden administration have made a bit of a mockery of the highest offices in our land with the business dealings and the kind of actions that they were taking around the world. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Jordan, if you take just what we know, and I would agree with what I think you said earlier, there's still lots of questions that remain to be answered, and I hope the House of Representatives will continue to pursue them. But if you take just what we know, Hunter Biden put the then Vice President of the United States on the phone, ostensibly, according to some, to talk about the weather. But you and I both know, when you put the Vice President of the United States on the phone, you are messaging. I think Devin Archer apparently called it branding. But make no mistake about it, Vice President Biden would have known the reason he was on that phone call as well. And I think that's important. This is really about the current president, President Biden, not about Hunter. The vice president would have known the reason he was getting on that phone call. It was to advantage his son, to help his son communicate to those folks that he would have access to the United States government at the highest levels. And to your point, this is indecent to leverage that office in that way for the benefit of your child, or in this case, for you as the vice president. We'll see how much money actually went to the vice president himself, but I'm confident that as more stones are overturned, we're going to find this is a deeper problem than we even know today.
Mike, you have the unique perspective of being a member, former member of Congress, a secretary of state, director of the CIA. You think about the countries that this family was doing business with: Ukraine, China, Romania, and the issues that our country is dealing with these countries, while the then vice president, who said initially, I did nothing about my son's international business dealing, find out he was on the phone calls with him, whatever they talked about, like you said, whether it was branding, messaging, whatever it is. But you dealt with these leaders of these countries face to face, eyeball to eyeball. These are serious players, and we're playing like we're in the minor leagues here, like single A.
It's so true. It's so amateurish as well. I think your point's exactly right. Now, these are sophisticated counterparties who knew precisely what they were doing when the then vice president got on the phone. You know, what the vice president might have done before he was in office, or what he did when he was out of office, that's fundamentally different. He was the holder of a constitutionally identified position. He was acting with the force of the United States government in everything that he did during those years. And so these are sophisticated people who knew that they could use Hunter Biden to get access to Vice President Biden. And it appears they did so intentionally, and they appeared the vice president went along with that. This is amateurish at one level and very dangerous at another level.
Yeah, but they say they go to one dinner and $3.5 million gets wired the next day from a Russian billionaire into the Biden's account.
Well, what was the pure thing? Pure coincidence, Jordan. Pure coincidence.
Yeah, well, let me give you another coincidence.
Tell us a lot about Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan. You're right. That was another dinner. They had the photo of it with the president of Kazakhstan at Cafe Milano in Washington with Hunter and Joe Biden there when he was vice president. Next day, he's got a Porsche.
From Kazakhstan.
Yes. I mean, so it just seems like the money that was in the indictment and the plea deal, which is like $4 million, I think, total, seems to start dwindling away very quickly. Like, this starts growing and growing every time. I mean, Devin Archer literally said Burisma wouldn't have survived as a company without Biden on the board.
So what does this do? And this is what our audience wants to know, Mr. Secretary. What does this do? Because these countries know exactly what they're doing. They're sophisticated players on the global stage. What does this do, not only to our standing, but to how they view us in a policy perspective here?
You know, we've always had the most pristine set of relationships. We have the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. We have all these set of rules, and we just behave differently than other countries. This kind of suggests that Vice President Biden was playing by the rules of these other nations. And what others observe is, oh my goodness, if the United States is going to do this, if there's going to be official actors getting on the phone for commercial transactions to benefit them, not for their country, but for their family or those around them, then we are no different than those other countries. And I promise you, when others read the transcript that comes out from the Archer hearing, or they see these WhatsApp messages or text messages that talk about 10% for the big guy. They're familiar with it. They've seen it in their own countries. This is the worst of governmental action, and it's inconsistent with how America has behaved for 250 years. And those responsible for this need to be held accountable. That's maybe for your listeners. The most important thing is it is great work that the House of Representatives is doing. But we need the prosecutor's offices to pick this up, investigate this, evaluate it, not politically, but fairly based on the facts. And when they do, we'll let the chips fall where they may, but it doesn't look good.
I'll tell you, the other thing, of course, is we talk about this two-tier system of justice. I mean, where's the special counsel? I mean, I dealt with a special counsel for two and a half years. So I know what it's like. I'm not a fan of special counsel statutes, so don't get me wrong here. But where are they on this one? And this plea deal, now that we've seen it, I mean, nobody in America, Mike, would have gotten a plea deal which said this. From 2014 to 2018, anything you did, known or unknown, we are absolving you from. And if there's a violation of this plea, it cannot be brought by the Department of Justice. The judge has to initiate it. And the judge wisely said, well, I'm an Article III judge. I'm not an Article II prosecutor. That's your job, not my job. But the fact that they even had the nerve to put that up to the judge in the first place is what's so breathtaking here.
No, absolute moxie. Jay, you've done bad work. You should have gotten that for every one of your clients.
Yeah, right. I feel terrible. I mean, right. Exactly. I mean, I could get them absolved from everything they thought.
Exactly. No, look, and even the prosecutor had to admit he'd never done this before, that this was completely unique. He was asked, can you identify another case that in which this has happened? He had to say, no, we've never done this before. That suggests there's a lot more to this, too. The Biden team thought they were going to sweep this under the rug, and that the judge didn't permit that to happen. And American people will be better off for that. And I think there's still a lot we don't know. And for the prosecutor to have shown up with that deal, I can't imagine how that person doesn't resign from their position. It is so deeply inconsistent with their fiduciary obligations and their responsibility as a prosecutor. I don't see how you continue to be the one that's in charge of this case.
You know, Mike, we're in a life and liberty drive here at the ACLJ for this month of August. We have gone through every comment on all of our social media for all of our broadcasts and are focusing in on the issues that are really matter most to our members and our donors. And at the top of the list is all this government accountability. But I think since you've had this broad swath of experience within government, both as a member of Congress, CIA director, and then Secretary of State, people, I think coming from you, the importance of being able to get to the bottom of these issues and groups like the ACLJ doing that are really critical to the functioning of the government then being able to do oversight in Congress because we can get information and share it.
Jay, that's so critical. And it doesn't surprise me that everyone's focused on this. It's right for them to be. I remember even in the moment, the work that I did to try and hold Secretary Clinton responsible for what she did related to the people, the Americans who were killed in Benghazi, right? It is absolutely essential that organizations like the ACLJ have access to information and continue to do this work to uncover these stones. We need a transparent United States government and then the accountability that flows from that. I pray that we'll get that in each of these instances, that we will get justice imposed, not politically, but in a way that is fair and equitable. That is certainly not the path we appear to be headed down today.
We appreciate it. Thanks for being with us as always. What great insight you get from the former Secretary of State who underlines and underscores the need of what we are doing at the ACLJ as we have launched this incredible drive, which we're in day three of. And it's, I got to tell you, the response has been unbelievable so far.
Yeah, that's right. We encourage you to go to ACLJ.org right now and be part of the Life and Liberty campaign and this new drive. I mean, what we were talking about yesterday is you are going to have direct impact on the defense and the legal work for these whistleblowers. And the more of those whistleblowers that know that the ACLJ will be there to represent them, the more that will come out, the less that will be afraid that they may be crushed and they won't have representation. If they've got information to share, they won't be having to forced into to testify by subpoena, but they will come forward on their own using the whistleblower protections that are in place and know that if they are treated wrongly by the executive branch, by these agencies, that the ACLJ will stand with them and your donations are going directly to that. To prove that, to show that, we have to put it down on paper. We have to show it in court. We have to not just talk about it, but say, we will be there for that fight. We will stand by you. We will fund it. We will support it. And we'll make sure that your rights are vindicated. You're part of that. We can take on more of those cases with more of your financial support.
and I am having our team has a meeting in less than an hour with another whistleblower and a series of them tomorrow as well. But Logan, this goes to the overall scope and nature of this drive that your team has been putting together as part of a big initiative for us, for all, a biggest initiative we've undertaken.
Yeah, and I like I told you, we've been planning this for months. We've been working with our team, whether that is our media team, our legal team, to really laser focus on what's important to you. And it just so happened that some of these major cases happened to all coincide. Again, I said just so happens, certainly not a coincidence that this would be the case. And we are only a few days in to this Life and Liberty Drive, and we're excited at how big it has already become and how much you guys have supported this as well. And this is just the beginning. We have so much coming, whether that is tomorrow on the broadcast, you're going to hear from the whistleblower himself. This is going to be a fascinating, fascinating time. So make sure you tune into that tomorrow. But now is the moment. This is your moment to not just hear about it, to join us in the fight. Go to ACLJ.org to join the Life and Liberty Drive today. I also encourage you right now, we'll be taking some phone calls coming up in the next segment. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Back in just a moment.
All right, welcome back to Secular.
Lines need to be open, everybody, because we're taking calls at 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. Here's what I'm asking you in this last segment. And we had a little technical thing there, so they were closed down. Sorry about that. So call back. 1-800-684-3110. And that is, you see this two-tiered system of justice. What do you see, how that impacts you, your family, and what you want to see done about it? 1-800-684-3110. And by the way, we have tipped the iceberg. Just the tip of the iceberg is all you're seeing on this right now.
Yeah, and I think finally people are seeing, because I do understand from our supporters, our listeners out there, they've wondered, is this something that can be corrected? Are there any good people left inside these agencies? Yeah. And you know, we've talked to Mike Pompeo, we talked to Rick Rennell about how, you know, most of the folks in there want to do the right thing, but it has been very corrupted at the top. And when it gets corrupted at the top, it's very difficult for those line agents and those FBI agents to break through and be able to do the right. I mean, we have the IRS officials saying they did their work, but it was ignored. They did their work with other DOJ officials as well, and it just was totally ignored, and that was never before the case. But now we are starting to see, and it's a trickle, but I think if we can unleash the floodgates and have more of these individuals willing to come and speak out to the American people, first by going to Congress, getting the whistleblower protection, knowing they'll be defended by the American Center for Law and Justice because the retribution is going to be coming. So if you can get 10, 20, and you keep adding up and you realize there are good people within the government that want to do the right thing and go after the bad guys and protect us as Americans, that it's worth fighting for, that in some cases worth dying for as a country, and that this is the new fight. It's the fight against the entrenched Washington bureaucracy that believes the politicians don't really run it. It's not really the elected officials. They come and go. It's the Special Selective Service.
Yes, exactly right. Senior Executive Service, SES. And what happens is they become the de facto legislature. They become the de facto government. And what you have, and unfortunately, is the need for then agents like Agent O'Boyle and others. And you're going to hear from him tomorrow on the broadcast. And as I said, we've got right after this broadcast, our team's on calls with other whistleblowers. I think this project's going to explode in as far as being able to help people. And then you're going to be able to shine a light on it. And then Congress can't ignore it. And then you can take legal. We're going to court on O'Boyle's case. It's not just what we're talking about it. We're going to court on his case. And this is why standing with us during this Life and Liberty Drive is so critical. And why it's so important for you to engage this. Now, I'm going to ask, if we have comments coming in from Facebook and YouTube, let's get a couple of those in here, and we'll take those, and we'll take your calls as well, now that the phones are opened up, at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. On that Hunter Biden situation, you heard what Mike Pompeo said. I mean, there's no explanation for any of this other than two-tiered system of justice.
Yeah, I mean, and the money keeps piling up, so it's the money within the actual plea deal seems to be just the tip of the iceberg, because we're learning about going to a dinner and $3.5 million being transferred into the account the next day. That was by the mayor of Russia's wife, the mayor of Moscow's wife. So the mayor of Moscow, who was a billionaire, his wife goes to dinner with Hunter and Joe Biden, and literally the next day, $3.5 million is transferred into the account. We have laws in America that if that transfer is made, you're going to have to prove that it was legitimate.
Yep.
Basically, if you're going to take that money, there's a lot of steps to go through. Typically, you'd have to register as an agent. You'd have to justify it. Then you have to pay taxes on it. And remember, what we were told from the beginning was that Hunter paid everyone's bills, paid everybody's mortgages. So it all flowed through him. They used the drug addict, son, to be the source of all the money. And then he was able to go into court and say, well, I was a drug addict, so I didn't know what was happening. But he was paying all their bills.
Well, this is, we're going to go ahead and take a phone call.
Joe Biden wasn't paying his own bills.
Well, I mean,
his son was paying his bills.
Well, hold it. According to the plea agreement, Hunter Biden wasn't paying his own taxes either. It's an undisclosed third person. I mean, this is, you can't even make this stuff up. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yep, let's go to James in Maryland on line one. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is really, is bribery still a crime in this country? Because the crime appeared to have occurred, you know, a number of years ago. And shouldn't the people being impeached be the people who are protecting Joe Biden from being charged with the crime of bribery?
So you raised a really interesting point, and that is called the statute of limitations. And that is, in any case, there's usually a 4-year or 6-year statute of limitations. Sometimes it's a bit longer, but you're right. As these things just sit and nothing happens, the statute expires, and then there's no recourse. Now, impeachment is a political device, and the House has to bring articles of impeachment, then the trials in the Senate. We did one of those, and you know, it's something like we did one of those, like it's a common thing. There's only been four in U.S. history. But the fact of the matter is that's not going to resolve this problem.
No, and there's kind of, when we talk about the two-tiered system of justice, the timing is very important of all these cases. I mean, literally every day that there's been something bad about Joe or Hunter Biden, the next day something bad has happened to Donald Trump. He's either gotten a target letter saying he's going to be indicted or he gets indicted. Today he's getting indicted again. Literally, he's getting indicted for something that happened 3 years ago. 3 years. It took Jack Smith, it took the DOJ three years to figure out they thought that there was a thought crime here, because that's what they're trying to enforce, thought crimes. And we'll go to D.C. where everybody hates Republicans, and 93% of the registered voters are Democrats. That'll be a great jury pool. Very fair. Definitely a jury of his peers. Peers that hate him and would never want to elect him because, again, they're the bureaucracy. So I think when we look at this and you look at how the timing is abused, on the one hand with Donald Trump, they'll wait 2.5 years when he's again the leading Republican candidate and they drop the charges in the middle of election. When it's Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, it's plea deals.
And let me tell you this. As we talk to these whistleblowers, you're going to find out this is, some of them have, those IRS whistleblowers were dealing with Hunter Biden. These other ones are dealing with other things, folks, including on the pro-life issue. I mean, a host of things. Parents being targeted. All of this is coming out. But we have to be there to represent them. And as we focused this week so far on liberty, and the greatest liberty we have is living in a constitutional republic. And when you live in a constitutional republic, you know what? It's what Benjamin Franklin said. He was asked by a woman in Philadelphia, what government do we have, Mr. Franklin? And his response was, madam, a republic if we can keep it. The words of Ben Franklin 230 years ago were prophetic. If we can keep it. And that's where we all come in. If we band together, we can keep it. We can thrive as a country. We can thrive as a republic. We could take back rights that have been lost. We can defend freedom and liberty here in the United States and around the globe. We could be a republic. But we have got to increase our ability to engage this issue. And that issue right now, as we talk about the liberty issue, is basically the structure of our government. Something I've been arguing in Supreme Court with for basically right now. I mean, this is 4 decades for me. So I want to encourage you, as we close this broadcast out today, remember, tomorrow, you're going to hear from Agent O'Boyle on the broadcast, our whistleblower client. We are just a few days into our campaign, and the response has been overwhelming. We kicked it off, as we said, with representing the whistleblower. We got more of those that we're interviewing. He said, you expose the government, they will crush you. We're not going to let these individuals be crushed. So it's the full strength now of the ACLJ representing him, and we're taking his case to federal court, actually to the Court of Appeals. Your financial support is so crucial to defending Agent O'Boyle, and I will tell you, by tomorrow, and many others. Let me just put many others out there, because that's what it's going to be. That's why we're in our Life and Liberty Drive. I want to encourage you to support that work today. This is your moment to join us in this fight for life and liberty. You do that by going to aclj.org or responding to the email that's already in your inbox. We'll talk to you tomorrow.